The second vivifying factor I mentioned, which brought about the complete fusion of my dear grandmother's injunction with all the data making up my individuality, was the totality of impressions received from information I chanced to acquire concerning the origin here on Earth of a principle which later became, as was demonstrated by Mr. Allan Kardec during an absolutely secret spiritualistic seance, one of the chief life principles among beings arising and existing on all the other planets of our great universe. This all-universal principle of living is formulated in the following words. If you go on a spree, then go the whole hog, including the postage. As this now universal principle arose on the same planet as you did, and where, moreover, you spend most of your time lolling about on a bed of roses and frequently dancing the foxtrot, I consider that I have no right to withhold from you the information I have that will help you understand certain details of the origin of that universal principle. Soon after the inculcation in my nature of the new property I mentioned, that is, the unconscious striving to learn the real causes of all sorts of actual facts, I arrived for the first time in the heart of Russia, in the city of Moscow, where, finding nothing else for the satisfaction of my psychic needs, I occupied myself with investigating Russian legends and sayings. And one day, whether accidentally or as a result of some objective, lawful chain of circumstances, I don't know, I came across the following story. Once upon a time, a certain Russian, who to all appearances was just a simple merchant, had to go on some business or other from his provincial town to this second capital of his country, the city of Moscow, and his son, his favorite one, because he resembled only his mother, asked him to bring back a book he wanted. When the great unconscious author of this all-universal principle of living arrived in Moscow, he and a friend of his, as was and still is the custom there, got blind drunk on genuine Russian vodka. And when these two members of one of the large contemporary groupings of biped breathing creatures had drunk the proper number of glasses of this Russian blessing and were launched on a discussion about what is called public education, a topic with which it has long been customary to begin a conversation, our merchant suddenly remembered by association his dear son's request and decided to set off at once with his friend to a bookshop to buy the book. In the shop, after looking through the book, the salesman handed him, the merchant asked its price. The salesman replied that the book cost 60 kopecks. Noticing that the price marked on the cover of the book was only 45 kopecks, our merchant first began to ponder in an unusual way, especially unusual for Russians, and then, with a certain movement of his shoulders, he straightened himself up like a ramrod, and throwing out his chest like an officer of the guards, said after a little pause, very quietly, but in a tone of great authority, "But, sir, it is marked here, 45 kopecks. Why do you ask 60? Thereupon the salesman, putting on the oleaginous face proper to all salesmen, replied that indeed the book cost only 45 kopecks, but had to be sold for 60 because 15 kopecks were added for postage. At this reply, our Russian merchant was greatly perplexed by these two quite contradictory but obviously reconcilable facts, and something visibly began to proceed in him, and gazing up at the ceiling, he again began to ponder, this time like an English professor who has just invented a capsule for castor oil. Then, suddenly turning to his friend, he delivered himself, for the first time on earth, of the verbal formulation which, expressing in its essence an indubitable objective truth, has since assumed the character of a proverb. And he put it to his friend as follows. Never mind, old fellow, we'll take the book. Anyhow, we're on a spree today. If you go on a spree, then go the whole hog, including the postage. As for me, unfortunately doomed while still living to experience the delights of hell, as soon as I had become aware of all this, something very strange that I have never experienced before or since began to proceed in me and continued for rather a long time. It was as if all the usual associations and experiences from various sources were, as contemporary evinces would say, running races inside me. At the same time, in the whole region of my spine, there began an intense, almost unbearable itching. And in the very center of my solar plexus, an equally unbearable colic. And, after a while, these two mutually stimulating sensations gave way suddenly to a peaceful inner state, such as I experienced in later life only once, when the ceremony of the great initiation into the brotherhood of the makers of butter from air was performed over me. And later, when my eye, that is, this something unknown, which in ancient times a certain eccentric, called by those around him a learned man, as we still call such persons, defined as relatively transitory arising, depending on the quality of functioning of thought, feeling, and organic automatism, and which another renowned scholar of antiquity, the Arabian Mal el-Lel, defined as the compound result of consciousness, the subconscious, and instinct, a definition, by the way, which was later borrowed and repeated in a very different form by the no less renowned and learned Greek Xenophon, when this same eye returned its dazed attention within, I first constated very clearly that everything, even down to each single word, recognized as an all-universal life principle, was transformed in me into a special cosmic substance, which, merging with the data crystallized long before from my deceased grandmother's behest, was converted into a something which, flowing everywhere through my whole presence, settled forever in each atom composing it. There and then, my ill-fated eye felt distinctly, and with an impulse of submission, became aware of the, for me, sad fact that from that moment on, always and in everything without exception, I would willy-nilly have to manifest myself according to this inherency formed in me, not in accordance with the laws of heredity or even under the influence of surrounding conditions, but arising in my common presence from the action of three external accidental causes having nothing in common. First, from the injunction of a person who had become, without the slightest desire on my part, the passive cause of my arising. Second, because a tooth of mine was knocked out by some ragamuffin, chiefly on account of somebody else's slobbering. And third, thanks to the verbal formulation delivered in a drunken state by a person totally unknown to me, a certain Russian merchant. If before my acquaintance with this all-universal principle of living I had manifested myself differently from other biped animals like myself, arising and vegetating on the same planet. I did so automatically, and sometimes only half-consciously. But after this event, I began to do so consciously, and moreover, with an instinctive sensation of the two blended impulses of self-satisfaction and self-awareness in correctly and honorably fulfilling my duty to great nature. It must be emphasized that although even before this event I did everything not as others did, my manifestations scarcely attracted the attention of those around me, but from the moment when the essence of this principle of living was assimilated in my nature, then, on the one hand, all my manifestations, whether directed toward an aim or merely for passing the time, acquired vivifyingness and began to assist the formation of corns on the organs of perception of every creature similar to me without exception, who turned his attention directly or indirectly towards my actions. And on the other hand, I began to carry out all these actions in accordance with the injunction of my deceased grandmother to the utmost possible limits. Moreover, the practice was automatically acquired in me when beginning anything new, and also at any change, of course on a large scale, always to utter, silently or aloud, "If you go on a spree, then go the whole hog, including the postage."